Live. Hi.
We're live. Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Very good, thank you.
You still haven't got your lights in your studio then, your office?
No, it's soon. Planning has been a bitch, but that should be sorted soon.
But as you were saying, your house is pretty much done now.
I know, it's so, honestly, it's so beautiful. It really is.
It is really like, lovely.
And I know that everyone who actually watches this show and takes a blind bit of interest in what's going on behind my face knows that I have been through some shit with this house. Like, we have been in every room in this house recording. We've been outside.
And in other people's houses. Like, we were in the builder's house.
Yeah, we've been in Ian's house. We've been in my grandma's house.
Yeah.
The office. Oh my God, I forgot about when we went to Ian's house because they took my Wi-Fi off. That's hilarious.
It's been a proper
roller coaster, but I've just had like, it's starting to get to a point now where people are coming to see the house. And you know, you're like, This is the bedroom, this is the downstairs, you know, like walking around like it's a, like I'm selling the house. And someone, Nicola from Exeter, has just been and she said,
okay, because you have all the BDMs come and see you.
Yeah.
Would have followed you on this, so I bet they're probably like...
So they're like looking and she was like, oh my God, it's like a show home. I said, yeah, this is a show home. People don't live here. Like, you want to see, there's these chairs. Look, I'll show you. Those chairs.
Oh my gosh, what, you got that on your foot? You do not have toddlers anymore.
No. This is what they sit on. So the other day we were all sat around the table. So I'll allow me and Keo to sit on the black ones because if we drop something, it's not as visual. Nobody sits on the white ones. And Keo went to sit down next to me. So I was sat here and he went to sit there. I just like looked at him. I went, what the hell do you think you're doing? He said, what? I said, get your hand off that chair now. He went, they're for sitting on? I said, no, they're not for sitting on. This is a show home. This is to look at. Sit down there or sit on the bench. You can't.
So how long will that last for? Or were you
not
always
forever. No, I'm a pure.
I know people who are like that. I actually know, the person we were talking about off air, their mom and dad, they have built their own home and they have a kitchen and then a kitchen that is the actual show kitchen and then one they cook in. And it's like there's a false wall and you go through this like door that looks like a, you go through it and then it's like all of the, and there's like plates and everything everywhere. And then you come out and it's like this beautiful kitchen, like island.
Yeah, it's like, don't get me wrong, it's tirelessly draining keeping up with it because like you've got to keep everything. But I've never felt, you know, when people have that, like the house proud. I've never felt that, like I feel it here, ever. I've never felt it before. So like when people are coming round, I'm screaming to everyone to all hands on deck and we've got to make it look like nobody lives here. Like that's what it's like. Make it look like nobody has ever stepped foot in this house and it's for sale. Like,
what are you going to do? Like, and this is going from my head, I'd ask you this offline, but like, what are you going to do when the kids get like Alba is going to get older and the boys are going to get older and that room, though, that you've spent a ton of money. I was thinking this because thinking, how is that going to work? Because you've just got this beautiful, like,
I'm going to have to show you. Let me show you.
It's got this beautiful princess room. And then I was thinking, how long until she's like, no.
Keo literally said the same thing to me the other day. He said, how long do you reckon it'll be before like that room will be done? Like, she won't want it anymore. And I went, well, she's having it till she's at least 10. He's like, well, what if she doesn't want it when she's 10? I said, there's not a chance I'm smashing that down. No. I might not even let her do it when she's 10. The Wi-Fi might go off. Just so you can get...
Is that a real tree, the real plant back there, or is it a false one?
No, it's false. So I've got enough things to keep alive, thanks. So this is for 7-year-old Carla, not 5-year-old Alba. Yeah.
I love this.
Look.
I mean, it is insane.
Watch. So that's under there, where she can do all the stuff. Look, she's even got a crest that says a name on it. That's a little
mirror.
And a mirror.
Oh, wow.
How could I possibly... put that down.
So that, so you'd have to, become your, that can become
you'd
your
have to smash it. You'd have to smash it because it's actually like, it's actually made.
Yeah, like, well, I remember the guys making it.
Yeah, the lads made it. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't like, it was expensive, but it wasn't, people would think it was a lot more expensive than what it was.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're expensive. When you actually get, like, they're not, like you say, you can do it probably quite affordable compared to, like, when you look at some of the beds you need to buy and things.
Oh, like 100%. Like, when I was looking at, like, buying one, I said, not a chance I'm paying that amount of money.
Yeah.
And we made it for a hell of a lot cheaper, but it's just knowing someone who can do it. But I know, if anyone wants that type of bed, I know someone who can do it. It's very good. But anyway, I don't know why we've run on a tangent of that, but yeah. No. House is gorgeous, but we're still here because I'm still waiting for my patio doors to get put in the office. So I'm working from home, so BDMs are coming and people are coming, and it's really, really nice to actually have
Is the team still in the office at the moment then? So that they're not
all there? No, the office is gone.
No, I mean I know that. I'm on about your home office.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a million, like, all that lot are in there.
Yeah, like, Meg has just been there. Meg has moved to Manchester, so Meg comes like once a month for a week. She comes to the office. And like, we can work from home anywhere. And I'm not putting pressure on people to be anywhere or do anything. And if they need my help, they know where I am. I hate the thought of like telling people where they need to be or what they need to be doing. That you're self-employed for a reason. You want to do you know what I mean? Like, you want to do what you want to do.
Yeah, like, there might be people, as you say, just want it lifestyle. And if that's makes sense.
I think we should change this episode to what I'm turning downstairs into, just from the basis of what we spoke about, right?
Yeah, cool. Let's do that now. We'll do the other one next week.
Okay. So
we were going to talk about something else, but now we're going to move.
Yeah, but I've spent the last 7 minutes going on about the house, so it makes sense.
And the office, which makes sense. Like,
yeah. So the office, it's trying to keep in the protection parent theme and making sure that people can go to work and not stress and worry. I'm actually going to, the office is going to be attached to a playroom so that if the girls want to come into work with the kids at half term, or if they want to come after work and they've got the kids, like obviously out my kids at home, there's going to be a playroom literally. So the office is here. The office and the playroom are attached just via a door. And I've like toys, stuff they can draw with, TV, a little sofa. And just because it's like, there's still, Alba's 5 and Teddy's 8. But I still feel like, I just feel like a terrible mum when I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm in the office and they're, say, like in the bedroom or in the kitchen and I can't physically see or hear them. Yeah, I'm in the house, but I can't see them. Whereas if they were, once we do this, they'll be able to literally be right there. And at the end of the day, the world we live in now where people do work from home, people are much more like, understand you're still a professional even if you've got a child. If one of my kids started crying or arguing or fighting or whatever, I'd just say to my client, I've got my kids, they're at home from school, you know, and whenever that's happened in the past, 99% of the time I get, oh God.
Oh yeah, it's a good thing. I don't think it's I think it would open you up to be more real with your clients. I don't think it's a bad thing. If someone said that to me, if I was like talking to them, they said, oh, my kids, I'd be like, oh yeah, well, I'm a parent. I get that. It's all good. Don't worry. And then
it gives you that relatability, doesn't it? And that thing in common with each other.
And I love that idea.
I just want to try and do like, I've thought a lot recently this past year about, like, and I've went on about me wanting to continue advising and not just create a big company and have loads of advisors. I don't mind having a few advisors, people who are genuinely good at what they do and they were doing it for the right reasons. I don't want to create a sales monster. That's not my aim at all. But I definitely want to continue advise. So if I'm going to continue advice, I need to work my family life around what I'm doing. You know, when Alba gets in from school and Teddy gets in from school, before Keo gets home at 5-6 o'clock, I've got 3 hours there where, I might not be working as much as I do after 6, but I am still going to be on the phone sometimes and I need to have a place where I can feel comfortable and they can feel comfortable and they know that I'm there if they need me. And I want the same for my staff. Like, I want my staff to feel like the kids are welcome, that it's okay trying to work and juggle family life at the same time, just as I do. And I've stopped all the I've stopped all the targets and stuff. I've stopped it.
Have you? Oh, yeah. That's great.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I like the thought of motivating people and trying to push them and trying to make them see how good they are. But I want to do it when they want to and on their terms.
I think you have to be self-motivated. Like, I think there's an, so it's a funny thing. I had something happen to me yesterday, which we haven't spoke about actually, but this is, I think this is, I get you with the targets because I wrote down when all my health stuff kicked in, I wrote down a list of all the things I wanted to achieve. You know, and you're like in that, I'm in a target zone. And then I forgot about it. And then I was like, I want to achieve this in 18 months. And then I found this list and I went through and I was like, oh my gosh, I've done all of it in 5 months, all of it. Like I literally knocked, it was like every one of them, it was like run a half marathon. I was thinking, oh my gosh, how have I done that? And I'd forgotten about it. And I think you're right, targets. I said to Freddie, I was chatting about it, I said, I think that you have to want to do it enough and the target is irrelevant. I've done so many lists where I've done that and it's never been what it ever, and it was blown away by like how many of them had been achieved. And I thought, what was the difference? And I was like, because I actually wanted it. And it wouldn't have mattered about any, there were no bit of paper. That paper didn't motivate me to continue. It was because I wanted the goal. So I think sometimes those targets, it made me think about myself targets, thinking a lot of the time they're kind of useless. They're always saying them to keep everybody else happy.
Yeah, like I think because you were in a sales dominated environment,
yeah,
and because I've came from, even before insurance, it was always like,
you're always very sales, target, yeah, yeah.
You've got to get this, you've got to hit this, you've got to hit that. And when you didn't, there was a consequence to it. And yeah, we all have to have a minimum we'll accept in terms of keeping a business afloat. Yeah, there's a minimum. Like, I don't want you to be able to do less than X. But I just got so tired of the, I thought, what am I doing? This isn't what I did this for. Like, you know, you want to try and hit this much target this month. You want to do this. Well, why haven't you done it? Well, you haven't done this. You haven't done that. Why? And I just thought, I did it for about, I've probably went hard at it for about 6 months and I found it so draining, like mentally draining. And I could feel myself feeling disconnected from my staff.
Yeah.
And I don't like saying staff because they're not staff. They're advisors. They're my advisors. They're friends. They're my team. And like, I didn't want to feel disconnected from them. They're my team. If they need me, I'm there. If I can help them, I will. But ultimately, they're working for themselves. So like, I started to feel a bit like, as if they're not resented me, because I didn't get to that point, but I could feel that I would resent me.
Yes.
If it was, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, I feel like all I'm doing is, why not this? Why not this? How about this? Try this, try that. Some people don't want to. Some people are wired where they do not give a shit. They just want to earn money that they need to earn. That's the end of it. Some people want to take over the world, and some people want to do it some months and not other months. And it's not up to me to decide to put everyone in one box. Like, they're all individual. So last week at training, I just said, look, I'm scrapping targets on the head. Do what you want. And they just laughed and were like, what's wrong? I was like, no, nothing's wrong. I'd rather you be happy and feel comfortable in what you're doing. You're self-employed for a reason. And I don't want to be the reason why you're under stress or pressure. Like, if you don't want to achieve those targets, that's absolutely fine. If you do, tell me. I'll put my foot up your ass for you. That's no problem. I'll
help you, yeah.
But I don't want to be that boss, that person. And that's like, that's why I wanted to do like the playroom as well. I thought, really, ultimately, what's the main issues why people struggle, women struggle at work, childcare, having the kids? Oh, I can't, I've got the kids. Right, well, that's fine. Bring the kids here. I'll help. Alba's here. There's other kids here. There's enough for them to do. Like, so you can get your work done so we can help each other. Not, it's all clap hands and women are the best. I don't mean that. I just mean like we're in the same boat and we can help each other to get to where we need to be. And, you know, I do want to smash targets. That's how I'm driven. They're not. So I don't want to try and force them to be like that.
Mm. I think that's a good idea as well. I think that it's also looking at it from, I love that idea that because it's looking at it from a holistic approach of this idea of like, as you say, if they're going self-employed, maybe they just want to, because that's the thing with insurance, you know, you can make a really good living doing pretty average compared to what you could do other places. So if you're somebody that worked and wanted to make, you know, was making 25, 30 grand a year, and you were like, okay, I'm now a mom, I want to look after my kids, be around my family more, whatever, you can do that really, really comfortably.
Very, very easily.
Yeah. Very easily. And I think sometimes that's the bit that people get miss. And I'm like you. I'm like you, as in, like, I want more, do more, do more. But there are people who are like I look at it with what I could do. You know, look at things, think, gosh, you could live a life where you literally just did what you wanted and worked one day a week, and you could earn significantly more than the average person just by doing that. But like with someone like yourself, and I'm surrounded by people like you, it's like, no, I want to do what if you do that every day? You know,
yeah, but everyone's different. And like, but when you, like, especially this job, like, and it's not just mothers, but obviously I'm talking, I can only give my opinion based on why I started. Like, I started because I didn't want to work under anyone else's conditions anymore. I was sick of having to put my kids into childcare to earn money that paid for childcare. It was bizarre.
It's like a circle, isn't it? It's like a strange circle.
It got to a point where I thought, I'm driven and I want to do something, but who am I pleasing here? Because it ain't me and it ain't the kids. So I'm pleasing somebody else who really, I'm just another number to them. And when you go self-employed, especially in this industry, you can pick and choose what you do, how you work, how long, what hours. And I am a freak. As in, I get addicted to stuff like that. And yeah, I've ran with it and I've done what I've done. But like my team, like, that's why they joined, because they wanted time with the kids. They wanted to be able to decide if they took them to football, if they took them to school. And me putting targets and stuff like that is just, like, I just think it's the opposite of what I wanted to try and build. So the creche at work, the, you know, working from home, working from the office if you want, doing, you know, having that flexibility of you work around your own hours, like even training to a point, like I do training once a week, and obviously, but they need me, they ring me, that's it. Like, yeah. It's not, it is more of a not one size fits all.
I love that though, because you said that before. I remember when, where you worked previously, and you said that was the annoying thing, was the training, the compulsory training, being on the Zooms. And then, but you're the highest performer. And then you're thinking, but why am I at the training if I don't, you know, if everyone else is. And I think sometimes, I agree with you. I think it's really lovely that you've come to that realization. It's really great. It's really,
I know. Good. I'm absolutely fabulous boss, aren't I?
You are. You're a very good boss.
I'm not. I'm shit. That's why I can't have more staff, because it doesn't wire in my brain right. I can't do it. I'm really bad at it.
Well, you're very good at like being. I was chatting to somebody literally on Friday, and they're saying I will never have a business because I'm not wired that way. And you're like this, which is right, because you've stepped back and looked at it. But it's like, I'm wired to do whatever is necessary to get the job done. And I then surround myself by people who do that, like you, like other people as well. And my wife's very similar. So I have very little empathy for, I'm very little empathy for people who don't want to do it. I can't see it. So how you have to really get work to be like, and I always say to people that, like, I've worked with hundreds of people, and you are the only one that was left at the end, you know, because everybody else found me too intense.
But then you expect, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you come to the realization, like I said, after a year, I've come to the realization that I can't, it's not about, as for me, being a good manager is not about trying to make people into something they're not. It's about allowing them to be themselves and be comfortable.
I only have one you in my client banks, and that took me ages to learn. Was like, I'm not going to get, as and couldn't deal with either. Like, if you think of yourself, like, if you want another you, like, in your team, you'd be hard to deal with.
Not here.
You'd hate it. And I said this to people, I always say, it's like, you were an incredible benchmark for me to go, okay, I can work with, and this is brilliant. Could I work with 22 Carlas? Probably not. And actually,
your life is choosing.
Like, like, holding them accountable to that, and like, because so I think that's an awareness thing of like, okay, I think you know you don't need to all have an army of superstars. You need one superstar and then other people who fill different roles and different purposes. And I think
the ages. Superstars in their own right for what they do.
They want to do. I've got clients who say that, like, I want to work 2 days a week. And so they make like 60 grand a year doing 2 days a week, or 60, 70 grand a year. And it's like, amazing. But then I've got like you doing like crazy numbers and things. And I'm like, yeah, but, and it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah. And it depends on what you want to achieve for yourself. So yeah, the best place to be is at the TPP.
The TPP. Is that the, that's a,
Oh, don't, that's a pattern. I'm leaving.